A curious pattern emerged in Silicon Valley boardrooms and Wall Street corner offices. Executives kept returning to the same philosophical text. Peter Thiel recommended it, John Allison built a banking empire on its principles. Yet most business books gathering dust on these same shelves offered nothing but tactical advice: how to optimize supply chains, boost quarterly earnings, or master the latest management fad. This collection asked something far more fundamental. Do you have the moral right to profit from your work? The question wasn't academic. In a culture that celebrates entrepreneurs in theory while vilifying them in practice, business leaders found themselves defenseless against accusations they couldn't quite answer. Why are successful business people treated as villains despite creating prosperity? What gives anyone the right to pursue profit? These essays don't just defend capitalism, they transform how we understand wealth creation itself. Venezuela holds the world's largest oil reserves, yet faces economic collapse. Japan has virtually no natural resources, yet built extraordinary prosperity. The difference? Human thought. Steel existed in the earth for millennia, but remained prohibitively expensive until inventors developed new processing methods that transformed useless rock into the material that built modern civilization. The breakthrough wasn't discovering iron, it was discovering how to use it. This reveals wealth's true source: the human mind recognizing potential value where others see none. When Steve Jobs created the iPhone, he didn't take wealth from anyone. He produced something entirely new that enriched Apple shareholders and millions of customers who voluntarily bought it. This isn't exploitation, it's creation through thought made tangible. The businessman's role parallels great artists or scientists, recognizing possibilities, organizing resources, and producing values that enhance human life. The Industrial Revolution generated unprecedented prosperity, not by redistributing a fixed pie, but by creating new abundance through human ingenuity. If business people create value through voluntary exchange, why does culture portray them as villains? The answer lies in altruism, the doctrine that serving others, not oneself, constitutes moral goodness. Under this framework, business people pursuing profit are automatically condemned as selfish, regardless of value created. This creates an impossible trap. Acknowledge self-interested motives and you're immoral. Claim altruistic intentions and you're hypocritical. Either way, you lose moral standing. The attack runs deeper. Business people are condemned for being materialistic in a culture that devalues physical existence. Their commitment to reason contradicts those claiming superior insight through mystical revelation or emotional intuition. These premises manifest in concrete persecution. Antitrust laws create a surreal landscape where businesses face prosecution, whether they charge prices too high, too low, or identical to competitors. Unlike criminal law prohibiting specific actions, antitrust makes success itself suspicious. Accused murderers receive presumption of innocence, while successful business people face automatic suspicion. When General Electric executives were jailed in 1961, their lawyers couldn't defend them on objective grounds, only plead mercy by citing charitable works, not their productive achievements. The essays defend profit-seeking as morally praiseworthy, not merely tolerable. This rejects the false choice between exploiting others and sacrificing yourself. True self-interest creates win-win relationships based on mutual benefit, what Rand called the trader principle. Consider Hank Reardon from Atlas Shrugged, who spent 10 years developing Reardon metal while running efficient steel mills. His demanding work controlled every molecule through conscious intention. When his metal succeeded, Reardon felt pride not in financial returns, but in producing the best rail ever made. The profit motive incentivized excellence by rewarding productive achievement. The businessman creating valuable products through voluntary exchange isn't merely not guilty, he's actively virtuous for using his mind to enhance human life. Money represents a principle. People must trade value for value. Every dollar earned through honest production represents moral achievement, a tangible measure of value created for others who willingly exchange their wealth for your product. Many business people fund universities promoting anti-capitalist ideas while persecuting capitalism's advocates. Rand calls this the sanction of the victims, accepting their enemies' moral premises. They believe pragmatic compromise works without worrying about abstract principles. This fails because of three crucial rules. In conflicts between parties sharing principles, the more consistent one wins. In collaborations between parties with different principles, the more irrational one wins. When opposing principles are clearly defined, it benefits the rational side. When hidden, it benefits the irrational side. These rules explain why conservatives consistently fail to limit government. By accepting altruism as the moral ideal while advocating capitalism, they create an unsustainable contradiction. When crises occur, they revert to government controls, following George W. Bush's example of abandoning free market principles to save the free market system. They can't oppose welfare spending because it conflicts with altruism's demand to help those in need. True integrity means loyalty to rational principles, not subjective whims. Without principles, you cannot set long-range goals or evaluate alternatives. The businessman without philosophical understanding becomes vulnerable to every passing intellectual fashing and political demand. Political power operates through government's monopoly on force-compelling obedience, through taxation, regulations, and imprisonment, regardless of consent. Economic power works differently. It depends on voluntary exchange and mutual benefit. A businessman cannot force purchases. His success requires creating value others willingly buy. Customers choose to dine at restaurants, employees agree to work terms, and investors willingly risk capital. Those who equate these powers ignore that wealth is produced through individual thought and effort, not seized from others. Silicon Valley entrepreneurs and small business owners create new value rather than redistributing existing resources. Refugee patterns dramatically illustrate this contrast. People consistently flee collectivist dictatorships toward capitalist nations, instinctively recognizing which power truly threatens human life. The flow from East to West Germany during the Cold War, Cuban exodus to Florida, and ongoing Venezuelan migration demonstrate movement from political control toward economic freedom. The collection concludes with a powerful call. Business people must defend capitalism as a moral achievement, not apologize for it. In Hank Reardon's courtroom statement, he declares, "I work for nothing but my own profit, which I make by selling a product they need to men who are willing and able to buy it. I do not produce it for their benefit at the expense of mine, and they do not buy it for my benefit at the expense of theirs. We deal as equals by mutual consent to mutual advantage, and I am proud of every penny that I have earned in this manner. This isn't selfishness, it's justice. Throughout history, entrepreneurs pursuing profit created innovations benefiting humanity. Henry Ford made automobiles accessible. Thomas Edison illuminated cities. Modern tech entrepreneurs revolutionized communication. Each acted primarily for their own benefit, yet their achievements enhanced countless lives. Business people must stop apologizing for their ability or seeking validation through public service justifications. Their productive work, creating jobs, developing products, solving problems, is itself a moral achievement. The future depends on whether business leaders understand that ideas are the greatest and most practical power on earth. In a world demanding apologies for success, the most revolutionary act is proudly asserting your right to exist, produce, and profit.